This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As you know, last Sunday was Easter Sunday, the day that we celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. However, the fact that Jesus is alive would not be good news if Jesus had not died. You see, many times we want to hear that wonderful celebratory message of Easter without hearing the message of Good Friday. But you see, that's really impossible because Jesus' death and his resurrection go together. For example, in today's gospel reading from John chapter 20, we see that the risen Lord Jesus appears to his disciples. And when he appears to them, he says, "Peace be with you." But then Jesus does something fairly odd, at least to us. Jesus shows them his hands and his side. Now, why did he do that? Well, it's fairly obvious. Jesus wanted them to see his scars. He wanted them to remember his death on the cross. But why does Jesus want them to remember his death on the cross? I mean, isn't the resurrection supposed to be a time for celebration? Why point them back to that horrible cross? Well, the answer is found in Jesus' words, "Peace be with you." You see, Jesus wants them and us to remember that we can't have peace with the living God unless we have faith in Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, he suffered God's wrath in our place. He suffered the punishment that we could never, ever have endured. Not just the physical suffering. We're talking about the spiritual suffering he endured, being forsaken by God. That's the punishment we never could have endured. God's own Son suffered and died in our place of damnation. And Jesus' resurrection, well, that simply proves that Jesus is God's Son who died for us so that we could have peace with the Father. However, and this is really important, the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection do not do us sinners any good unless we repent of our sin and receive the benefits of the cross through faith in Jesus. You see, if people do not take their sins seriously, they will see no need for Jesus as their Savior. So even though Jesus wants to give us forgiveness, if we don't care about our sins, we'll end up walking away from that gift. And so, in order to receive those gifts, we need a repentant heart. Having said that, repentance alone is not enough. We also need faith in Jesus. You see, without faith in Jesus, we will either end up in despair or we'll think we can deal with our sins ourselves. Usually by trying to bribe God with our good works and trying to prove to him that we're really worthy of his mercy. But my friends, God clearly teaches that we can't save ourselves from our sin. Only Jesus can do that, and that's why we must have faith in Jesus in order to receive salvation. Well, so far we've learned that we must have both repentance and faith if we want to receive the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. But this fact presents a problem. You see, according to Scripture, we sinners are not able to repent of our sin by our own power, nor are we able to trust in Jesus by our own power. For example, listen to these words of the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 8. He says, "The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." So here we see that far from being good people, we sinners naturally rebel against God. We sin because we want to sin. Therefore, by our own power, we are not able to repent of our sin. It is impossible for us sinners, by our own power, to have godly remorse over our sins. Now, the same is also the case when it comes to having faith in Jesus. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to what Paul writes there. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Now here we see that by our own power, we sinners are not able to trust in the message of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. It's foolishness to us. Therefore, left to ourselves, we sinners could never, ever have faith in Jesus. Now, at this point, the reasonable question is this. Who then can be saved? I mean, if we are conceived as sinners who don't have the ability to repent and who don't have the ability to have faith in Jesus, then what hope is there for us? Even though Jesus died and rose for us, if we are the kind of people that constantly push God's gifts away, what hope is there for us? Well, here's the answer. What is impossible for us is possible for God. My sermon title is, Repentance and Faith Are Gifts. In our reading from Acts chapter 5, we heard these words of Peter. God exalted Jesus to his own right hand as Prince and Savior that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. Here Peter makes it clear that God gives repentance to sinners who cannot repent by their own power or will. Peter also says that God gives forgiveness of sins. And it's that message of the forgiveness of sins that actually creates the very faith needed to receive it. For example, Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit uses God's word of judgment to expose our sin and convict us of guilt before God. The Holy Spirit uses God's word to give a person a repentant heart that realizes what a horrible thing sin actually is and that we actually deserve God's present and eternal wrath. However, as I said earlier, repentance over your sin is not enough by itself. Without faith in Christ, a repentant sinner will either end up in despair, or that person will think, okay, now I know I'm a sinner, but what am I going to do about it? I know, I'll go to God and say, God, I know I've sinned, and I know I deserve your punishment, but I tell you what, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, and can we call it even then? You see, that's why repentance by itself isn't enough, because then you'll think that either you have no hope, or you will foolishly think that you can do something about your sin. Therefore, in addition to using God's word of judgment to give us repentance, the Holy Spirit also uses God's word of forgiveness to give us faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit uses the preaching of forgiveness based on Jesus' death on the cross to create faith in repentant sinners. Now, with all that understood, here's the important question. What does this information mean for you personally? Well, if you have remorse over the sin in your life and you believe that you deserve God's wrath, then the Holy Spirit has used God's word of judgment to give you repentance. In addition, if you also trust in Jesus alone as your Savior from sin and from death and from eternal damnation, if you trust in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit has used God's word of forgiveness to give you faith in Jesus. You know, this helps us understand what Paul is trying to tell us in our second reading from Romans chapter 10. Listen again to what he says. He says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in?" Did you hear that? Paul makes it clear that you can't even call upon God in faith unless you already believe. But how does a sinner come to believe? Well, Paul goes on. How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? So there you have it. Sinners can't believe in Jesus unless they first hear about him. Now, how do sinners hear about Jesus? Paul writes, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Simply put, God's word of judgment, as well as God's word of forgiveness, must be preached, or people will not be able to repent of their sin, nor will they be able to believe in Jesus. Finally, Paul writes, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Did you hear that? God creates faith in repentant sinners through the message about Christ and his death and resurrection for us. Now, having said all that, there is something else that we need to understand. On the one hand, we can do nothing to give ourselves repentance and faith, because these are gifts from God. However, because they are gifts, it is possible for us to reject those gifts. Remember what Paul said in our reading? He said, not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Remember our first reading from Acts? Peter lays out the word of God to the Jewish leaders. He talks about God's judgment for their sin. He talks about Jesus being the Savior and Messiah. But what do? They harden their hearts, they reject what they hear, and they push away God's gifts of repentance and faith. Simply put, some hear God's word about their sin, but they refuse God's gift of repentance. They choose to cling to their sin and deny that they deserve God's wrath. And in the same way, others who hear about Christ and his mercy will reject God's gift of faith. As a result, such people try to save themselves from sin by making deals with God and trying to prove that they are worthy of his mercy. My friends, as long as we resist the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through the preaching of God's word, as long as we do that, we will not be able to receive God's gifts of repentance and faith. And if we do not have repentance and faith, we cannot receive the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. But the good news in all of this is that God does not give up on us sinners so easily. He continues to proclaim his word through preaching in the hope that he will eventually break through our hard hearts so that he can give us his gifts of repentance and faith, which will allow us to receive the salvation of Jesus. But having said that, there is one more thing we also need to understand. Even if you have received God's gifts of repentance and faith, it is possible to later reject them. Now, how does that happen? Well, that happens if you stop hearing the preaching of God's word. That can happen when you no longer read Holy Scripture. That can happen when you no longer think about God's word and pray to him. You see, this is why the devil does all that he can to tempt us Christians to stop attending services. This is why the devil does all he can to get us to stop reading God's word. That's why the devil does all he can to get us to stop thinking about God's Word and to stop praying to God on a regular basis. You see, if we are not hearing, reading, and praying God's Word, the only result is that our faith will begin to grow weak, and God forbid, may one day eventually die. And that's why God does all He can to keep us Christians hungering and thirsting for God's Word. As long as you're hungering for God's Word and thirsting to hear His good news, you know you're okay. But if you're reaching a point in your life where you're apathetic about the things of God and don't see your need for it, that's not a good sign. That's why God does all He can to keep us Christians hungering and thirsting for His Word. God wants you to hear His Word of salvation in services and Bible classes. He wants you to read His Word and to think about His Word and to pray according to His Word, because that is how God keeps His gifts of repentance and faith alive in your hearts and minds. Now with that said, I would like to just say a few words about holy baptism and its meaning for our lives, especially since we're having a baptism at our second service. You see, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit uses God's Word in holy baptism to create repentance and faith even in the hearts of infants. However, this repentance and faith that we receive in baptism must be kept alive by the hearing and reading of God's Word. And that's why I'm always happy to see infants and young children in our services and also in Sunday school. That's why I rejoice when I see teenagers and adults in our services and Bible classes. That's why it's so important for families to have devotions and prayer together during the week. You see, these are the ways that God keeps repentance and faith alive in our hearts and minds. These are the ways that God takes the past miracle of baptism and makes it an ongoing daily reality in our lives. In closing, please remember that God has used His Word to give you the repentance and faith you need so that you can receive the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. And the good news is that the same God who used His Word to give you repentance and faith, this same God will continue to use His Word to keep His gifts of repentance and faith alive in your hearts and minds, so that you will continue to cling to Jesus and all that He's done for you, and so that you will be moved by the Spirit to live to His glory with the peace of knowing that you are God's forgiven child who has the hope of eternal life in God's love. Therefore, my friends, continue to attend services and hear God's Word preached. Take advantage of the opportunities you have to study Holy Scripture, whether that be in a Bible class or also reading the Word of God on your own. My friends, God will be faithful. He will use His Word to keep you focused on Jesus, your Lord and Savior, who died and rose for you, that you might be His own forever. With that said, listen again to what John writes at the end of our Gospel reading. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Amen. In a few moments we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.